Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your presence in our lives. We love you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for revealing to us truth and for revealing to us how to walk in your power, in the things and the promises you've given us, the gifts you've given us, Lord. Father, this morning we just lift you up, and again we proclaim this is your time. We are your people. We also proclaim, Lord, that we have receptive hearts and open minds, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do today, for your word. And I pray, Lord, and I thank you that people will be encouraged and that it will cause their faith to grow and to cause them to walk in boldness in you, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to me. We have been programmed because of our society and because of, we talked a little bit about the Babylonian system, which is what we're operating under in this country and in this world right now. God destroyed Babylon for a reason, and yet we have reverted back to the old ways. Your Bible says that it would have been better for people not to have ever known the way of righteousness than to, when they know it, to turn from that holy commandment that's delivered unto them. But you see, it's not our fault, necessarily. It's, number one, first of all, the voices we choose to listen to and what we put as priority in our life. And if God's Word is not your priority, then you're subject to what, you know, all the voices that are around you. We're programmed by doctors to say, well, once you get to a certain age, you start to deteriorate. That's not what my Bible says. They'll tell you have maybe 70 or 80 years. My Bible says, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. It's a promise given to Abraham and Abraham and Abraham's seed. And we have been grafted into that vine and now have now become Abraham's seed as believers. It's a done deal. And so the Bible promises those people at least 120 years. And I like what Bill said this morning. We were talking about this and Bill said, this was his declaration out of his mouth, is, I expect to be doing the same thing at 120 that I am now. And when it's time for me to go, I'll just lay down and go to sleep and go to heaven. Because that's the promise of God. Amen? What does the Word say about His promises? In Him they are what? Yes, and so be it. Yes and amen. And that's what we need to do. We need to reprogram ourselves. We need to wash ourselves. And we need to let the washing of the water of the Word come in. Cleanse out the garbage. Wash out the nonsense. And put us in a place where our hearts are so fixed on God and His Word that that's what we walk in. We don't consider circumstances. We don't consider our bodies. We don't consider our finances. We don't consider what other people say that's against the Word of God. We consider only His Word. And that's when we begin to walk in power and strength. Amen? Praise the Lord. So what I'm saying there is that it's not their fault. And this is an attack of the enemy, and we come against it. We stand with them, amen, against that, in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, we lift Marie and Harry up. I thank you, Lord, that Marie's body is whole, complete, and is operating the way you designed it to function, in Jesus' name. I thank you for the illumination of the understanding, according to your word, that they are and have what God says they are and that they have, and that, Lord, they'll not be robbed from anymore. Satan, I command you in Jesus' name. I take authority over you, and I tell you, cease and desist your operation in Marie's health, in their thinking. And I thank you, Lord, that they love you, and I thank you they're part of our family, Lord, part of your family, Father, and that they're free now in Jesus' name. We miss them. We need them here, Lord, and give you praise and thanks that it's finished. If you all agree with that, say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's real quickly give God His tithes and our offerings.
Yes, Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank you for all the gifts and blessings you've bestowed upon us, Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
You own everything, and you said we are heirs to all that, Heavenly Father. And it's just such a blessing to be a child of yours. We ask you to bless each and every person that's here today. We ask you to be with those who can't be with us. And we do declare that Jesus did pay the price for all illness, sickness, every calamity that comes on our lives. and that we have defeated all of that, and we walk in the freedom that Christ paid for us, Heavenly Father. And we thank you so much for that, because without you, we are nothing. And we ask you to bless this offering that we're about to receive. And even though it may be small, you have a way of multiplying things so that we can still have a tremendous impact for your kingdom here on this earth. In Jesus' most precious name, we pray these things. Amen.
Put your hands towards Rob. Father, in Jesus' name, again, you paid the price, Lord. You bought it. You purchased it. You've given it freely to us. Under your grace and mercy, Lord, which you said would follow us all the days of our lives. It's not that we deserve it, Lord, but it's what you planned and because of your love for us. So we say right now in Jesus' name that Rob's doctor's appointment's going to go well. He's going to hear a good report, not an evil report. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit will cover his mind and his heart so that he doesn't receive a negative report, but knows in his heart who you are, what you've done for him, and that's what he will stand on. And he will push away anything that does not sound like your voice, Lord. Anything that is tries to be pronounced on him, we come against it in Jesus' name and say he is the healed, walking in health, and that we're expecting a good report, not a bad one, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. We have been talking about faith and the power that's in the work that Jesus did, the finished work that Jesus did, and the power that's in our agreement with the Word of God. I want to start out this morning by reading once again what the Scripture says in Hebrews 11:1, that now faith, and I emphasize the now, is right now, this moment. In other words, every minute, we have to have a consciousness that now our faith is the substance of the things we hope for, the things we prayed for this morning, for Kathy and Jerry, for Marlene, for Rob, for those who aren't here, that the faith is right now. It's not past. It's not future. Somebody made a statement the other day, and I've still been trying to wrap my head around this, but I'll share it with you. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. That once you see what you've been believing for, it's not faith anymore. It's reality. Amen? But how you get there is you understand your faith right now when you're believing, and you hang on to that until you see the finished end. Amen? That's what faith is. But now, it's right now, meaning when I pray, right now I have what God says I have. Right now I am what God says I am. Not in the future, right now. It doesn't make any difference what we see or what we feel. Our feelings and our sight they'll deceive us. Amen? So now faith is the substance. That's what we hang on to. That's the substance that we hang on to, the Word of God and the reality that He said what He said, and He can't lie, and He did what He came to do, and that means we now have the free gift. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence or the reality of the things that we don't see. Amen? And so whether we see it today or tomorrow, an hour from now or 10 hours from now or a year from now, it's still the reality. We prayed the prayer of faith. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? When you pray the prayer of faith, you have received at that moment, and you need to understand that you receive at that moment. When I prayed for Rob just a few minutes ago, one of the things that I said is the fact that, you know, and that I mentioned, we're programmed, folks. We have been programmed. Do any of you understand that? Do you know what I'm talking about? We are programmed on the world standards or the Babylonian standards that are in this world. Babylon was destroyed. And yet it's been resurrected through the works of darkness. And as a result, we're hearing what the world believes, but not what the truth is that God, the truth of God. And here's what I'm saying. When you go to a doctor, they make pronouncements. And what we've done is we've become lax, we've become lackadaisical, in the fact that we, instead of having motivated or being motivated or being fixed focused on God's Word and what He's done for us, we're fixed focused by the programming of these people who have these quote-unquote credentials or shingles up on their wall that what they say is right. And that, I'm telling you right now, if you don't know it already, that's listening to the voice of a stranger. If we're His people, we listen to His voice, and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. Do you see? We get sucked into this because we think it's normal. Some of the things we talked about yesterday was the fact that in the system, you know, well, why do we... Does anybody here ever question why you do what you do? What the motivation is for what you do? Is it because God said it, or is it because that's the way we've always done it, and that's what everybody else does, so that's normal? And I'm telling you, it's abnormal. The devil has been defeated. Jesus and the Father are heads over all the principalities and powers, all the kings. They are the ones who instituted those things. And so there is no power in earth or in heaven that's greater than the power of God. There's no truth that's greater than the truth of God. Jesus is the only way and the only truth and the only life. And if you hear anything else other than what He says in His Word, you need to be careful that you're not receiving and listening to a lie. Because that's what it is. If it's not from God, it's got to be a lie. Amen. It's got to be a lie. Amen? Amen? And I want to tell you something. From this day forward, you need to hear this. Get this in your spirit. Your past does not know or dictate your future. Amen. Your past doesn't know your future. You have a future and a hope in God. Amen? Amen? And that's the only future and hope we have, is in God. And the reason God instituted church and He instituted things like pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is to teach you so you'll be equipped to go out and be the arms and the mouth and the ears and the face of Jesus in this earth. To walk in the power and authority that He has given you because of the work He's done. Let me tell you something. If you hear me right now. When you said yes to Jesus and you said, "Come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. I confess my sin, I believe You were born of a virgin, and now, Lord, be the Lord of my life." Right then and there, you accepted the gift, and the gift is an all-inclusive package. There's not one part of salvation, there's not one part of the goodness of God that is left out of that picture or that gift. Did y'all receive that gift? Now you need to know in your hearts that you have everything that God says you have, and you are everything God says you are. Amen? And again, that's a process that comes with hearing the Word of God, speaking the Word of God, meditating the Word of God, and then walking in the Word of God. Don't let circumstances and situations dictate to you anything other than what God has said. Because that's all they are, circumstances. And circumstances are subject to change. Truth, the truth, is not subject to change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? He tells us in another place in Scripture, He says, "I am the Lord. I do not change." He also says, "Have I not said that what I say I will do, and that I can't lie?" But it's all where this little thing between our ears is and what's in control of this thing between our ears. This thing between our ears is called the mind, and it's part of the heart, which is the soul, and it's the mind, will, and emotions, the appetites of our life. And that's why we need the washing of the water of the Word to come in and wash the garbage out, cleanse us, so that the good stuff can come in and take root in our hearts, in our minds, in our soul. Our spirit should rule our soul, because the Holy Spirit's in control of our spirit. Amen. And the greater one, Jesus, who is the fullness of the Godhead dwelling bodily, is in us also. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you're taking notes, let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Amen. I'll tell you what, there's a strong anointing on this message. Strong anointing. The Bible says you'll know the truth, and the truth will do what? Amen. Make you free. Here we go, verse 32. It says, "Do not fear, little flock." This is the words of Jesus. In my Bible, it's in red letters, so that means Jesus is speaking. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom." Amen? So He's already said, it's my good pleasure. So if He said it, and the gift has been given, it's all our responsibility is to receive it and to meditate on that and know that it's ours. Amen? Romans 8, 31 and 32 should be an encouragement to everyone. Romans 8, 31 and 32. It says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who," or I'm going to add, "what can be against us?" Because the carnal man is a sensual being, it is motivated and it reacts to carnal things. Again, it takes a lifetime of programming of the Holy Spirit. I won't use that word. Of revealing by the Holy Spirit to us that we have and we are what He says we have. Amen? Because what happens is when we go look at our bank books or whatever, or we go to a doctor, or we go to a mechanic and he pronounces something wrong with our car, right away our thoughts go to, what am I going to do now? Or now what? Do I have enough money in the account? Or, you know, all of a sudden a hopelessness takes hold. But that should only be for a moment. Our the Holy Spirit should be rising up in you, telling you, wait a minute, that's not what God says about you. And that Jesus paid the price. And the salvation, that sozo, means that you are saved from something to something. You're saved from sickness and dis-ease. You're saved from poverty. You're saved from mental problems. You're saved from physical problems. You have everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness. And the Bible says He's your provider, and we'll look at that in just a moment. So He says, "What then shall we say to these things?" I'll tell you what we say. We say what God says. Amen? Amen. Too simple. If God is for us, then who or what can be against us? Verse 32, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him..." Listen carefully. Listen to this and answer the question in your life, in your own spirit. "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him," in other words, with Jesus, "also freely give us all things?" Amen. And then He says He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And it's not for the kingdom after this kingdom. It's for His kingdom right here now, which is in us. The kingdom of God is within us. Amen? Now, Philippians 4:19 is a promise from God that says, "And my God," is He your God today? You need to start proclaiming, "My God shall supply all of my," or your, "needs," put your name there, "according to" what? To your bank book? To your abilities? It says according to His riches in glory. By what? By Christ Jesus. By the Anointed One, Jesus. Amen? When life happens, by life I mean situations come up, you wake up one morning and your hot water heater's gone. Or your furnace isn't working right. Or you go to the doctor and you get a bad pronouncement. Okay? When life happens, what's the first human and fleshly instinct that we have? Say it again, Asana. Exactly. Yeah. Or do I have... Let me just say. The example that I used here was the fact that the first instinct is consider or look at the circumstance through human fleshly eyes or human understanding or ability. It's important that you understand that it's through human understanding and ability. See, the first thing we do is if we've got a bill coming due, we look at our checkbook. Do I have enough money? Where am I going to get the money? When God says, I'll supply all of your need. I have supplied. I shall. It's done. That's my purpose, my plan. And I'm the Lord and I don't change. What I've said I will do. It's not because of works of righteousness or actions of righteousness on our part. It's because of the grace and mercy of God that these things are in effect and operational in our life. And since He says, I won't withhold anything good from you, He's talking about every one of those kids that will believe in Him. And really the world. Because Jesus died once for all. That means everybody, whether they're saved or unsaved. The difference is you have made a decision to be His child and to be His heir and to sit at Him with the right hand of God. So the enemy is your footstool. And anything that doesn't line up with what God says, how you're blessed, what you have, what He's given you, that's not the promise of God, is a lie. And you need to reject it. You don't look at the circumstance, you look at the promise, and the promise changes the circumstance. Did y'all get that? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me give an example. Again, we talked about a bill. When a bill comes due, or a repair on your home or your car comes unexpectedly, the first thing we consider or look at is our bank account or our ability. What can I do about this? I said something yesterday just as I was leaving. I think Patrick and Donna had already left, but I said something to Bill's mom and his aunt and to Bill. Again, folks, this is not just a cute saying. This is the truth. If you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plan. Now, let me just kind of paint this picture for you. If you've got a plan, then God's plan can't work. Amen. At best, your plan is futility, and it's based on you, what you consider your abilities are, or your responsibilities. Can I tell you this morning, the only responsibility you have is to God? That's the only responsibility you have. And the only responsibility He requires of you is believe in me. Believe in me. Believe in the things that I do. Amen? That's all He requires. He's got the rest of it under control. Our responsibility is to go to Him and say, Father, you see, this, you know the situation. You said you'd meet my needs. You'd supply my needs. So, Father, I give it to you. Well, that's a responsibility, but why? Let me explain that to you, Brian, and for the sake of all of us. Brian says, isn't our responsibility to be here on Sundays too? Well, yeah, but it's that responsibility, the reason for that is because by your being here, you receive blessing from fellowship with the brothers and sisters, the saints. You receive blessing and insight and knowledge because the Spirit of God and the Word of God is preached and is prevalent here. How many remember Wednesday night when we saw that video, that 92-year-old woman? That young man wanted to go and pray. She said, you don't have to go anywhere. Jesus is with me always, wherever I go. And you need to understand that. Listen, when the Scripture says He's an ever-present help, we'll get to that in a few minutes. He's an ever-present help in time of need. That means He's always there. It reminds me of the song that says, He was there all the time. He's waiting patiently in line. What's He waiting for? For the same thing He waited for until you opened the door of your heart and invited Him in. He's waiting for you to open the door and to give Him the opportunity. He won't supersede your will and He won't run over you. But He's up there wringing His hands. Oh, man, I can't wait. Just say the right thing and I'll bless you. I'll bless you. I'll make my angels come and come in your behalf and I'll get you supernaturally the things that you need. It may not be spectacularly, but it'll be supernaturally. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. I'm getting revelation as I'm speaking this, folks. When a bill comes due or a repair on your home or car comes unexpectedly, the first thing we consider, it's human nature. And that's what we're trying to get rid of. We're trying to put down is human nature, amen? Carnality is what it is. Look at our bank account or what we can do, what our abilities are. We consider the funds in our bank accounts or not. Whether it's either in our bank account or it's not. and what our next action is going to be. Another way we can react in our flesh is how we respond. The way we react in our flesh is or whether it's flesh or spirit, is the way we react and how we respond to whatever comes. If Jesus is alive in you, and He is, no doubt about it, I'm saying that about everybody here, if Jesus is alive in you, and He is, then your response is, Father, I lay it at Your feet. I cast my care of this situation on Your. It's not my ability. It's Your ability. And I trust You that this need is met in Jesus' name. What does the Bible say? Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say, I am strong. Amen? Don't look at what you can do. Don't look at your abilities. Don't look at your life. Look to the One who's the author and finisher of your faith. The One who has everything in His hands and who really owns everything. Can I tell you something? Doctors wouldn't have wisdom without God. They don't acknowledge that, many of them, but that's the truth. You wouldn't have money if it wasn't for God, because it all belongs to Him. See, everything we see, everything that surrounds us is His plan. But what's happened is because man stuck his nose in it, because he listened to Satan rather than God, has tainted it, twisted it, and made it so instead of being a blessing, it's now a bondage to a lot of people. You either do what I say, you go get your Obamacare. You got to go get it. If you don't, I'm going to cut off your refunds. I'm going to penalize you, which just made you a criminal. Listen to the logic in that. Let me give you another picture that ties right with that if you listen to what I just said. It's the same thing that happens when you come into a setting where the people, Bill was talking about this morning, a situation where there's people who are homosexuals, they're gay. And they go into churches, and this church even accepts homosexuals, when God's Word says, no homosexual will enter the kingdom of God, will ever see heaven. But you see, the enemy's lie. See, if the enemy can't get you to doubt God, he'll push you to think that God will overlook everything you do wrong. Now, let me tell you something. The only way that that's true, and if God puts it in His Word that He says, this is what I'm against, you better believe He's against it. And His blessing won't flow in that situation. Okay? So what we need to do is stay fixed, focused on the Word, listen to the Holy Spirit, be in tune with the Spirit, get that relationship with the Holy Spirit and the living Word in us. Make sure that our spirit is controlled by the Spirit of God, which then in turn should be controlling your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then you'll begin to walk rightly and uprightly and in the right way. And you'll see the things that God promised you come into fruition quickly in your life. And that's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. You may not be where I am, and I may not be where you are. And I don't mean that negatively. Listen, just because I stand in the pulpit doesn't mean that I've got it all, I've got all the answers. I've got the One who has all the answers. But I, under my Word, my Bible tells me that He does in you. He's got things in you that'll benefit me. We need one another, amen? We can't say we're devoid of the need for one another. I can't say, I don't need Brian, I don't need Rob, I don't need Bill, I don't need Don and Marlene. I can't say that because we're all part of the body of Christ. And if one of us is missing or I use that attitude, then what I've done is I've physically crippled myself and spiritually crippled myself. Do you hear what I'm saying? You've harmed yourself. Because we're a unit. The Word says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. What unity? The unity of the faith. The unity of the knowledge of God that says He has finished what the work that He started, and now we're under the dispensation of grace. You know, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I was telling Bill, and I'm going to throw this out, and some of you are going to all get kind of, you're going to feel an itch running up and down your spine, your hair back your neck's going to stand up. But I'm going to tell you something. I am sorry. I see what Jonathan Kahn is saying, but I don't agree with him. If you look at the Word, and we've talked a little bit here a while back, we had a message about sowing and reaping. I believe bad things are going to come because people reject Jesus, but it is not God's judgment. It is people cutting off the flow and stopping being obedient to God that's going to bring these things about, which is what's happening right now. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, God's judgment is reserved for the mercy seat judgment and then the white throne judgment. The mercy seat judgment is for us as believers, which will show us what we did and what we received because of what we did in this life in obedience to Him. And the white throne judgment is the one that's going to put the devil and his angels and all the principalities and powers that are ungodly in this world into the lake of fire. And that's when judgment's going to happen. Because if it was really judgment and the way they use the word judgment, it sounds like, and I know Jonathan's qualified this, I'm not against Jonathan. I'm just saying I'm listening by the Spirit of God to what he's saying, and I'm uncomfortable with some of what he says because he's talking about a finality that doesn't come until the end. Why do I say that? How can I say that? Because if you study the Word of God, we're not under the dispensation of law anymore, which brings immediate, swift justice and judgment. We're under the dispensation of grace. Amen? And that means everything we do or have done, and if people would accept Him for them too, but everything we do as believers, it's already covered, done, past, present, and future. Do y'all understand that? Are you with me on that? Do you understand? That's what the Word says. That's not my words. That's the Word of God. So I have no fear of judgment. In fact, we sing the song all the time, you know, every tongue that rises in judgment against you. It's not the tongue you condemn, but our heritage is to judge that and say, that's unrighteousness, and it stops right here. It falls. It has no effect. It's not going any further. When you speak what you say, and it has to come out of your mouth because that's where the faith comes from, negative or positive, it's still faith. Only one faith is fear, really fear, and the other faith is positive because it's faith in God. What you speak out of your mouth sends things into the atmosphere that are the same things that God created. And it can either be destructive, like Satan and all Satan's plans, or it can be godly, which brings life, brings knowledge of Jesus, and changes what's in me so that I walk and look like Him. Amen? I'm changed into His image and likeness. And that's not a one-time event. That's a life long process, being changed into His image and likeness. Amen? Praise the Lord. We consider the funds are in our account or what our abilities are, and you know what action we're going to take. Another way we react in the flesh is how we respond. You're either reacting in the Spirit or you're reacting in the flesh. Okay? The way you respond to a bad report affects either us or our loved ones. Okay? If you get a bad report from a doctor, it's not only affecting you, but it's going to affect your loved ones. That's why we teach, why we minister the Word, and why we share the Word, and why we back and forth. We build one another up in love. How do we do that? By the Word of God. By the sharing the love of God. By pointing to those things. Amen? That's how we build one another up. So that when the enemy comes and the attacks come or the circumstances come. Can I just make a statement? And you can consider how far you want to take this. When the enemy comes and these pronouncements come, what he's doing is he's throwing a choice out to you. He's putting a suggestion in your mind. It's the same thing he said to Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, his tricks haven't changed. What he said to Eve was, when Eve told him, well, God said this and this and this. And then his first thing he said was, did God say? How many remember that? Go back and read Genesis. Did God say? Yeah, God said it. Bill and I were talking this morning again. It's just good to banter back and forth over the Word of God. But one of the things we said is, how could a being, man, I'm telling you, this hit me right between the eyes. How could a being that's in the presence of God, carries the highest position in God's hierarchy, all of a sudden become so stupid and so self-centered that he would give up that place and try to exalt himself against God and God's throne. And the thought struck me. It's right there. It's right there from the garden. What was in the garden that God didn't want Adam and Eve to mess with? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of eternal life, or the tree of life. So Satan already knew, because he was in the presence of God, the knowledge of good and evil. And he chose evil. And one of the things how you see that is because what his decision was to exalt himself was selfish. It was anti-God and anti-God's knowledge. And as a result, he was cast out of heaven. And it wasn't until he was in the garden, which means he fell before Adam and Eve, that he could deceive her. And that's the reason Jesus put them out of the garden. So because they've already eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he didn't want them to eat of the tree of life, because the tree of life would give them eternal life. In that knowledge of sin, there would be no hope. Do y'all see what I'm saying? It's up to the Holy Spirit to say whether that's true or not. That's just something to throw out to you. Anyway, what we receive and how we act or react to circumstances in our life will also affect our loved ones. Because again, our words go out. When God spoke this world into existence, like it says in Hebrews chapter 4, about how the things we see were not made of things which do appear, they were spoken into existence. That's the same thing. When you speak words out, you speak into existence either your calamity or your blessing. That's the way it is. So I don't know about y'all, but my silly mind, this fleshly mind, has enough sense, because I listen to the Spirit of God, to say, you know what? It's best that I don't. And the Bible says the tongue is an unruly evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Did you hear that? Do you understand what I just said, what the Word says? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You either receive death by agreeing with Satan, which means whatever you say is going to come on you, or you yield yourself. The Bible says, whoever serves unto you, yield yourself to obey you, because servant you are. You can't serve God and man, or God and money. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other, or hate one and despise the other. Read it, y'all. You don't know what I'm saying. So the point is, what is your master? Who is your master in your life? Is it the wisdom and knowledge of man? Is it the banks? Are they in control of you? If they are, honey, it's time to get right with God and get change going in your life. And if they're not, it's time to stop giving them place. Amen? And stop letting circumstances rule you, so that what comes out of your mouth is something that's for your harm, not for your good. And God never came to bring us harm, but to bring us good. Amen? Jeremiah 29:11. The thoughts He has for you, the things He's working in you with, is to bring a hope and a future to you and I. Amen? Ah, hallelujah. That bad report affects either us or our loved ones, or both, and our family and friends. Our thoughts in those circumstances are, what are we going to do? Or what am I going to do? What can I do about this? What can I do about this? Can I tell you something? When that's your thoughts, that means there's still too much of you left in your life. Amen. That's not condemnation. I'm not pointing a finger. I'm talking about every one of us here now. I'm not just saying one or two of you. I'm saying, therefore, but with the grace of God go I. Amen. And that I'm working on the same things. Uneasiness and panic comes and sets in. We are programmed to think and react. I must have had a half a thought there. We are programmed to react. And we rely on our responsibility. Instead of reacting, we ought to be proactive and say, thank God. In advance, you should be saying this. Not when the situation comes. That doesn't mean you can't get out of it when you start confessing the truth. Stop believing the lie. But what it means is we should already be saying, like the Bible says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the rich say, or poor say, I am rich. Amen? Start speaking to your bank account saying, I thank you, Lord, that I have enough. I have enough. I have more than enough. Why? Because you're more than enough. And you're the one who's in charge of everything. And everything I have, everything I am, is because of you. But I give you everything I am and everything I am not. Did you hear what I said? I give you everything I am and everything I am not. Wanting Him to change our lives. Amen? Hebrews 4:16, that's Hebrews 4:16, says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now let me tell you, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may. That throne and of grace and that we may, that does not suggest might or maybe. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's not a might or maybe. It's the throne of grace that we may obtain. We have, in other words, we're going to receive what we ask for. You have not because you ask not. If you ask, you receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. He didn't say if there... Nowhere in that Scripture does it say if there's a circumstance that can change that. Amen. Amen. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. That word obtain means to gain, attain, or succeed. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may gain or obtain or attain or succeed. Mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen? Ha! Hallelujah. Then God tells us something in Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians 4:6-7. What He tells us in all this. How many know anxiety comes from fear? Amen? He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by what? Prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what does He say the outcome will be in the next verse? He says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. In other words, you can't understand it, but you've got peace. You're not afraid of what's in front of you. You're not afraid of what's come. And can I tell you, you won't be afraid of when it happens, when the manifestation comes, because it'll be right on time. Amen? God doesn't want us to suffer harm. Amen? That surpasses all understanding. What'll it do? It'll guard your hearts and minds, or your mind, will, and emotions. Whenever you see heart or mind or soul, that's talking about the mind, the will, and the emotions. Through what? Through Christ Jesus. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. That's a good promise. I receive that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Our thoughts and correct considerations first, or should first, turn to our source. Who's your source? Is it your job? Is it your bank account? Is it you? Some of us are saying that by faith, that that's what we want, but we're not quite there yet. But that's right. You're absolutely right. That's the answer. He is the answer. I remember the old song that says, Christ is the answer for all your longing. Amen? Anyway, the first thought and consideration should first be to turn to our source. Second, the promise of God, who is, meaning God, is our provider and our source. And we see that in Philippians 4:19, which we already read. And my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. The one who meets all of our need according to His riches. Not ours, or not through our ability, or our bank account, or our strength or wisdom. and then give Him praise and thanksgiving for His intervention. Didn't say after the fact. That means in the process. Amen? Amen? You give Him praise and thanksgiving in the process. Because when you pray, you received it. As long as you don't doubt. What causes doubt is when we let this foolish, physical, sensual, fleshly body, because of our eagerness to have what we want because we want it right now, lie to us and say, but I didn't get it. And then we revert to plan two. Honey, let me tell you something, Church of God, family of God, there is no plan two. I'm going to tell you again. You want to see God laugh? You want to make God laugh? Tell Him your plans. Tell Him how you're going to do it. How many of you have seen those little funny little men that they draw? You know, got the big nose and they're kind of, they don't really look like a human. They just look like something with feet and hands. And they're sitting there holding their stomachs and rolling on the floor just laughing and laughing and laughing. If you got a plan other than God's plans, let me know how that turns out for you. Amen. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is what I've been telling you. It says in everything. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says in everything. Now, what do you think that means? Everything. Thank you, Patrick. Everything. That means that I don't care what it is. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it smells like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it feels like. In everything. Now, you don't thank God for calamity that comes on you or for trials. But you thank Him that through and in the trials, He shows Himself strong in your behalf. And you come out on top, the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You need to start confessing like I told you here a couple of weeks ago. Probably mentioned it again last week. Start confessing Deuteronomy 28. I am blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the field. I'm blessed at home. Everything I do prospers. You know? Everything I do, everything that happens, because I'm His. Because the promise of God is, and Jesus paid for it. Jesus already paid for it, folks. In everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God. Listen to me carefully. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks. He's already done it. It's already yours. All you've got to do is just sit back. And through patience, wait for the promise. You already have it when you pray. See, our minds can't comprehend that. Wait a minute. See, because we're programmed to believe that once you do something or once you expect something and you've gone through the proper motions, it comes automatically. In other words, I did the work for you, put the money in my hand. You know, I just thought of an example that may help with that thought. Many of us who have jobs or who do things, either in private business or in Donna's and Patrick's case, with their writing, they don't see. And in your job, most jobs don't pay anymore every week. There are some jobs who still pay every day, like the labor employment agencies and stuff like that. Most of you get a check at the end of the week, or at the end of every 2 weeks, or at the end of a month. If you're in a situation like I am, I get it once on the third of the month. Okay? But the point is, see, and this brings another picture into when God says you're more than conquerors. You went out and you did the work. You sweat, you did the work. And so the reward comes either biweekly or monthly. But you get the reward. But you don't see it right away. Wait a minute, I did the work. Where's the reward? Honey, let me tell you something. It's not your work that brought you the reward. It's Jesus' work. It's what Jesus did, not what you did. The only thing you did to bring the blessing on you was say, yes, Jesus, I believe you, I love you, I surrender to you. And that's what brings the reward. It's not by works of righteousness which you can do, but according to His mercy that He saved us. by the washing of regeneration. That means we're going through a washing of regeneration. See, God mentions that twice. He says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, and then He tells us we get our minds washed by the water of the Word. The Word of God is what helps cleanse us from the silly thoughts and washes out all that garbage or that residue that's been put there by the world, by circumstances, and by the programming and what the world calls normal. One of the things we discussed yesterday, well, we obey the law. You have to have a driver's license. But who put that thought there? Does that line up with what God says? No. That doesn't even line up with what your Constitution says. And your Constitution was written by men who had godly principles, who wanted to worship Him in truth and not be subjugated to the will of thrones and dominions that are ungodly. Amen? So you have a driver's license because that's the way they do it, because they've lied to you and told you it's a privilege and not a right. And right there, if you know your Constitution, it says you have certain inalienable rights. You're a citizen of this country. You're a person who's here. You have right to drive a vehicle. But you see, what they do is they tell you it's a privilege and not a right so they can control you. Give you a little driver's license because now I have control over you. I can make you do what I want you to do. Otherwise, you'll suffer the consequences. Honey, the only consequence I'm worried about is what would have happened if I hadn't received Jesus. And that consequence, I thank God, I don't even have to consider anymore. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. He who the Lord has set free is what? Free indeed. Amen. Amen. He is our source, not our ability or bank accounts, nor anything or anyone outside of Him. Did you hear me? Just real quickly, if you want to, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. This is a familiar piece of scripture and passage, but if you will, just turn with me to it, and we'll read it together in light of what we've been talking about. I believe this will bring more understanding and more insight and make it more solid in us. Okay. Therefore I say to you in Matthew, or excuse me. Well, I'll start in verse 25. I have 27, but I'll. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, or what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? God gave you dominion over those things, amen? That's what He gave Adam and Eve. And when He died on the cross and did the work that He did, when you receive Him, you are given back that dominion to subdue the earth. Amen. Now listen, here's the question in verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Or let me paraphrase it, say, can change anything in your life by worrying? Goes back to a statement I made. Faith or fear tolerated is faith contaminated. So why do you worry? Begin the question, verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory, y'all know the story of Solomon and how blessed he was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you or give you the things you need? He says, I know what things you have needed before you ask. We already talked about that. You of little faith. Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, or the ungodly seek those things. Because they have no hope, and they think it's in their ability that they get these things. See, when God does it for you, you stand up and give glory to God. When you do it, see, look what I did. I must be something. Are you with me? That's pride and arrogance. What does the Bible say about pride? Pride goes before us. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. Moving right along. Therefore, do not worry, saying in verse 31, what you'll eat, what you drink, or what we wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Again, as a parent, your child doesn't have to come. They may tell you, hey, I'm hungry. But they don't have to come and ask you, please feed me. Can I have some food, please? You just automatically meet those needs. Amen? You may ask them, are you hungry? And if they say yes, then what do? You feed them. There's no contemplating or thinking, you just do it. And that's the way your Heavenly Father is. Do you realize everything that you think and everything, every way you react as a parent, or when you bless friends and other people, that you're doing it through the love of God, and it was God's love that's working in you that caused you to love that way? Hello? Verse 33, but seek first. Seek first. The first thing you seek is the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Who's the righteousness of God? We are. But how do we get that way? Because the righteousness of God, Jesus Christ, lives and dwells in us. Amen. And His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. What things? The things that are necessary for your life. Amen? Verse 34 again is a warning. Do not, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And that's why I say again, I want to throw this out to you again. I want you to make sure you get this. Your past does not know your future. Without God, you have no future. With God, you have a manifest, blessed future. Full of the goodness and the promises of God, the abundance of God. You won't suffer any lack. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In other words, just simply said, all of those scriptures that I read in that little passage, God takes care of His own, all those who are His. And He wants to take care of the others too. But like the Scripture says, how many times I would have, but you wouldn't. Can I tell you something? Here's something that you've heard me say. If you will, I will. That's Old Covenant, folks. I'm sorry. I apologize for speaking that. I didn't understand like I understand now. That's Old Covenant. It's not if you will, I will. It's God saying, I love you, and this is what I've done for you. Receive it. That's called grace and mercy. Unmerited favor with God. Undeserved. You can't purchase it. You can just receive it. Amen? It's a free gift of God. It's part of your salvation. And salvation's a free gift. Psalm, two more scriptures and we'll close. Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. It says, for the Lord is a sun, S-U-N. And that word sun, translated, is glittering or shining. For the Lord God is a glittering, shining, and shield. Is glittering and shining and a shield or a glittering, shining shield. The Lord will give grace. Listen carefully. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. And since we need water, we need food, and since because of the garden we knew that we were physically naked, not spiritually, man, we've been clothed with the righteousness of God, but physically, He gives all of those things to us. Then verse 12, O Lord of hosts, O Lord of hosts, listen carefully, blessed, and that word blessed is a man's happy, is the man who trusts in You. And finally, I wanted to share with you Romans 8:32. He, who's He? God the Father, who did not spare His, it's God's own Son, Jesus, but delivered Him up for us all. God qualified it right there, for us all. Not just for you and I, but for everyone who will receive it. It's out there. The gift is out there if you want it. He delivered Him up for us all. How shall He, God the Father, not with Him, Jesus, also freely give us all things? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's all in the way you think and the way and how much you've let the Holy Spirit motivate what you think. Motivate and have control over your actions. The Scripture says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, Jesus' mindset was whatever God says, I'm going to do because it's truth and it's the right thing to do. Whatever God said, I already have, so it's mine. And it was the resources of heaven that kept Jesus blessed. It was the gifts of men which God promises. But Jesus gave Himself to obedience to the Father, the Bible says. And He says, when you give, you will receive good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's not just finances, like people have preached it. Amen? So where your prosperity comes from is your obedience to God. Only doing what He says, only saying what He says, and not one thing more or less.
You know what I find out is that the most important thing in life is your health. It's your, you know, your well-being instead of money.
Well, can I tell you how important it is? God sent His own Son to bear the stripes so that you could be in health. In that video that we watched of that 92-year-old woman, she didn't fear death. Because she knew immediately what was going to happen. She told Him. She said, man, you shoot me and I'm going to heaven and you go to hell. Amen. Now, she wasn't pronouncing that on Him. She was telling Him, this is the outcome of your action. Weights and balances.
Like it says in the Bible, the truth.
Consider your ways. Well, consider your ways. Consider your ways. And because of that word and because of the love of God that was coming through that word, through that woman, through that guy, he began to cry and he began to hear. And she told him, he said, I'm going to go home and pray. She says, you don't have to go home and pray. You can pray right here. She says, God's with me always, everywhere I go. When you came in this morning, God came in with you. Why? Because He lives and dwells in you. You're never without Him. He's an ever-present help in a time of need. An ever-present help in the time of need. Amen? We can come boldly to His throne of grace. Make our requests known. Make our petitions known. And can I just tell you something? The truth of it is God's answer is never no. Now, wait a minute, Bill. Listen to what I'm saying now. Listen in the context of what we're saying. God's answer is never no. He may say, not right now. I got some more things I want to do in you and through you and for you. before you're ready. But he says, no good thing will I withhold from you. Amen? Amen? So his answer is always yes. If it wasn't always yes, then how could you go as a sinner and say, Lord, I forgive me, I'm sorry. It's always yes. When you call on Him and you have a desire. Can I tell you that even, and I've told you this before, many of you have experienced the same thing, that there's times when you may have thought something in your heart, and you just thought it in your mind, and you kind of said it under your breath. Nobody knew what you said. Nobody knew what your desire was. But all of a sudden, the blessing of God was there, and you, wow, I remember when I talked about that. And really, you didn't, it wasn't that you really longed for it. It just, you know, that'd be kind of nice. And that's how much God loves you. You know? I know the excitement that Michael and Foster get, my grandsons, when their dad or I come, you know, they've been off doing something like Michael's with his mom or Foster's with his mom and stuff, and they come back to the house, and all of a sudden, just because we love them, we got a gift or a blessing for them, something they desire, and we know it. And we just bless them with it. Why? Because we love them. And we're not considering the fact that they could be royal stinkers. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Look through your spiritual eyes and see if you see yourself in that situation. Sometimes I'm a royal stinker to God. I know I am. But God loves me anyway. And He's forgiven me. And that's an everlasting forgiveness. Listen to me carefully. Holy Spirit, remind me. Let me say this the right way. In Hebrews chapter 5 and 6, especially in chapter 6, the verse 12 verses, it talks about if you don't follow God's Word, can you crucify the Son of God afresh or anew? The Scripture says He died once for all. That means for all sin, for all time, for eternity. And there is nothing else He can or He will do for the remission of your sins. It's done. It's done once and for all. Past, present, and future. And that's where we get goofed up, because we've never walked under that kind of grace and mercy. We've never walked under that kind of understanding and love until we met Him. Amen. Amen. He tells us, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." I think your day is just about done here, Brian. I just saw him go by. I love that kind of talk. Anyway, are y'all blessed this morning? Did you get something out of this? I'm determined not to know anything among you or anything at all except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that what I'm saying when I say that, that my every motivation, my every thought. You know, yesterday I was apologizing to Bill's mom and aunt. I don't want them to think that I'm against everything they say or that I think they're doing everything wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm giving out knowledge because I don't want people to not walk in the fullness of what God has. I want you all to receive and walk in the fullness of who God is, the fullness of what He has. Amen? I want you to be blessed beyond your wildest imagination. And I want the world to see what your faith and your life surrendered to God brings and does for you and what it'll do for them. Amen? And it's only through yours and my example of walking in the truth, receiving the truth, that we can do that. Amen? You can't brag about what you haven't got and what God hasn't done. But God's done everything. Amen? And we have the ability. You know, He's more than a conqueror. He went out and He conquered. Just like you go out and, if you will, conquer the work so you get paid when the time comes. It's kind of the same thing. We're waiting for the paycheck. But we do what we're supposed to do until we get the paycheck. And then we do it continually. But in this case, He did it one time for all people. He went out and conquered. And we as the benefits or recipients, we're more than conquerors. Because we got it just by believing, not by what we did, except yielding to Him. The highest praise you can give Him is give Him your life. That's the highest praise you can give Him. Give Him your life. Do you realize what you're doing when you do that? You're saying, God, I trust You even with my life. I trust You that Your plans and Your thoughts for me are better than my plans and thoughts. I trust You and I thank You that my outcome is going to be blessed and going to be better, far better than I could have ever imagined or hoped for. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are all hearts clear? Are y'all blessed this morning? Praise the Lord. Yes, you are blessed this morning. I'm telling you, you are. More than you know. Hallelujah. And God's not trying to keep it a secret from you. But that's why He tells you to get into the Word. In the Word you find buried treasure. Amen? Buried treasure. It's not really buried. It's just hidden between these covers. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lord, we give You praise this morning. We thank You, Lord, that we have and we are what You say we have and what we have what You and what You say we are, Lord. We are Your children. We are blessed coming in and going out. We thank You, Lord, that our bank accounts are full. We thank You, Lord, it's not by our works of righteousness, but according to Your mercy and Your love that these things are so. We thank You that we're healthy. We walk in health because it's been paid for. Jesus, You paid the dear price by the plan of God. And You took every ugliness that was in us and on us, on Yourself, so that we could be free and clear, spotless, unblemished, washed whiter than snow because of Your work and Your blood. So, Lord, we thank You for that. We give You praise and thanksgiving. In everything You said to give thanks and give praise to You, Lord. So we do that this morning. We praise You. We give You honor and glory. We glorify and magnify You, Lord. You are worthy, Lamb of God. You're our Redeemer, our Restorer. You are our Deliverer. You are our joy, our peace, our strength, our hope. You are our Provider. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. And that doesn't even begin to touch it, Lord, what You mean to us and what You are to us. And we thank You, Lord, that we, by serving You and believing You and trusting You and obeying Your Word, Lord, can be the example in this earth that we were meant to be, to bring people into Your kingdom and show them what they can have if they'll surrender to You, and to reveal what life without You, not by our condemnation or by our words, but by our lifestyle, what the outcome of their life will be without You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank You for Your Word. Seal it in our hearts. We thank You. We have open hearts. We had open hearts, and we've received in our hearts and minds what You've given today. And as we meditate on it, Lord, it's transforming and changing our life, starting even right now, Lord. We give You glory and honor. We praise You and worship You. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You for visiting us today, Lord, and for being here. Thank You for revealing Yourself and Your truth to us today. Thank You, Lord, for building our faith and showing us the ability we have, what we have the ability to walk in, Lord, and what's ours. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank You for bringing revelation and confirmation to our spirits. We thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy, Your grace and Your love, Lord. Father, right now, I just bless Your people. I say, Lord, let Your countenance shine upon them. Thank You, Lord, they're blessed coming in and going out. They have what You say they have. They are what You say they are. And Lord, we thank You in Jesus' name. Seal Your Word by the Holy Spirit of promise in us today. Now, Lord, we sanctify and bless the fellowship and the food that You've blessed us with. Lord, we thank You for being our provider, for being our source, in Jesus' name. Go with us now, and we thank You, Lord, for a great week in You, because of You, and through You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.